So during this Christmas season, it's good for us to stay within the church's celebration of Christmas, which continues all the way until the baptism of the Lord. As Catholics, we know how to fast and we know how to feast. And so it's good that when it's time to feast, we do, and we continue to sit with the Christmas mystery. One of the ways that we can do that is by focusing our attention in on the nativity scene. Every year, partly to our protests, my mother gives each of us kids more figures for our nativity scene. And so we have a whole village of people. And this year we got about a dozen different birds to place around our nativity scene. So anyway, that's kind of our funny family joke where it's the first gift we always open when we're together and we all roll our eyes and thank our mother. So anyway, it's good to keep the nativity scene up in our homes. I keep up mine all year and get made fun of for it, but I really love looking at Mary and Joseph in the nativity scene because they teach us so much about God's love, who God is, and who we are. So just want to reflect this morning on one aspect of Mary and on one aspect of Joseph from our liturgy today. So one of the things that we hear in our gospel that the church gives us this morning is that all of these experiences that Mary had, which were surely extraordinary, she pondered on them in her heart. So this is what we hear in the gospel. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. The writer of Luke's gospel, St. Luke, tells the nativity story from Mary's perspective, and the long tradition of the church is that he would have heard all of these stories from Mary herself, who remembered what happened to her. And so she would have told then St. Luke and the other apostles, and this is the reason why we have these stories today, why these treasures are passed down to us, is because Mary herself passed them down. And that's good for us to think about. Mary experienced these things, but then she pondered them in her heart. She reflected on the ways that God had moved in her life. All of these extraordinary things, and probably the very ordinary things too, Mary spent time with. And so as we look at the manger scene, we want to imitate that quality of Mary, who experiencing God's love for her and for the world and giving her and us, Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God is with us, she welcomes that truth not only into her bosom and into her lap and feeding Jesus, but she welcomes that truth of who he is into her very heart and sits with that truth. Another thing about today's celebration, which we celebrate every year on January 1st, the motherhood of Mary, so we honor Mary today. But there's also a significance about the eighth day after Jesus' birth, because if you were a young Jewish boy, on the eighth day after your birth, you were circumcised. And that circumcision had been practiced since the time of Abraham. So centuries after centuries of that mark being placed on the Jewish man as a sign of his covenant relationship with God. And so Jesus, who was a Jew, born to Jewish parents, didn't reject that heritage that he received from Israel and from Israel's God, but instead was himself a part of that covenant that God has with his people. In Matthew's gospel, we learn that it's Joseph who does this, actually. And this would have been historically true, that because women were ritually unclean after giving birth, according to Jewish law. It was the man who would have brought his son to the synagogue or to the temple to be circumcised. And on that day, the little baby would have received his name. And it's the father who names him. So what a beautiful thing for us to meditate as well, not necessarily on his circumcision, but on his naming, on his receiving the name from Joseph. As during this year of St. Joseph, as we reflect on Joseph's life, just to think about the extraordinary task that was given to him, but how he claimed that as his own. And I think we see this so well in the naming of Jesus. Joseph knew very well that he was not the biological father. Joseph obviously knew this, but God had told him that he would give Jesus his name, which is the father's job. So Joseph also knew that while he's not biological father of Jesus, that God wanted him to exercise a spiritual fatherhood over Jesus, which is in itself amazing, because that meant that Joseph had to teach the Son of God how to worship God the Father. Joseph had to teach the Son of God his prayers, bring him to the synagogue, teach him how to be a man. He had to teach the Son of Man how to be a man. So this was a task and a responsibility that God gave to Joseph, but Joseph accepted it. He claimed it as his own. And so that's another thing that we celebrate in today's liturgy today, the eighth day after the birth, which is when the sign of the covenant relationship that God has with Israel is placed on Jesus himself, sign of God's love for Israel across the centuries, and then the significance of Joseph giving him the name. What a name it is. It means God saves. So it's beautiful to think about Joseph going to the temple in Jerusalem, bringing Jesus being circumcised, and Joseph pronouncing his name. And what does Jesus' name mean? God saves. And so Joseph's proclaiming this then, that our loving God has come to us. He comes to dwell among us. He doesn't just stay in the heavens where we can't see him or reach him or touch him, but he actually comes right down to us and becomes one of us. So now we can touch him and see him and hear him. So today we can reflect more on Mary's motherhood of Jesus and Joseph's fatherhood of Jesus. Really ask for their intercession as we try to be good biological mothers and fathers, or spiritual mothers and fathers, that our holy family in heaven will give us so much grace and inspire us by their example, so that we too can be the mothers and fathers that we're called to be.